Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Almost 2 million Floridians have been out of work since the start of the pandemic. Many are struggling to pay for the basics, food, utilities, and rent. The governor placed a moratorium on evictions beginning back in April and has extended it each month. Whether he plans to do that for August remains unclear. Do you own a property and have been unable to collect your rent payments? If you're a tenant and you haven't been paying rent, what questions do you have? Call in now, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-WLRN. You can email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Joining us now to discuss the rights of tenants and landlords, we have Sean Rowley. He's the Advocacy Director of the Tenants' Rights Unit at Greater Legal Services of Miami. Sean, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Also joining us is Kevin Fabricant. He's of the law firm Fabricant & Associates. He represents landlords. Kevin, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Lewis. I appreciate it.
And also, just a note, we're not offering legal advice here. You should seek out the advice of an attorney for specific circumstances if you have to. Again, we're trying to get as many answers as we can for today. Sean, let me start with you. As we approach this, the end of the month, and rent and utility bills are due, what are some of the questions that you're hearing from tenants, their biggest concerns?
The biggest concern is what you would expect, is that people who don't have the money to pay their rent and what rights and protections they have. And up until now, it's been the eviction moratoriums. There are two types of eviction moratoriums in play. There's the statewide eviction moratorium you mentioned, and then there's the moratorium covered under the Federal CARES Act, which applies to about 25 to 30% of renters in the United States. So outside of the moratoriums, I mean, evictions are going to start in August. That's the biggest concern on people's mind, is how are they going to pay the rent, and what are their rights if they don't have the rent to pay?
And who do you represent?
We represent tenants, low-income tenants in Miami-Dade County and Monroe County. We're a nonprofit, so we don't charge for our services.
And as we're coming up on August 1st, what are you telling people? What's the advice you're giving them right now?
First off, apply for assistance whenever you can get it. For example, if you live in Miami-Dade County, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program is the application to apply for that assistance is tomorrow. So you should Google that and try to apply for that assistance. Besides that, making sure people are applying for unemployment compensation if they qualify for it. And also, we're telling tenants to reach out to their landlords to try to work something out regarding a possible payment plan or a vacate date or something like that, so that they can figure out a way to either stay or leave on their own terms. So keeping the lines of communication with your landlord open is very important.
And again, that moratorium is coming up August 1st. The moratorium ends if the governor extends it. But August 1st, we're back to outside of that. And so evictions can start up again. And we want to hear from you if you're a renter or a landlord. What questions do you have? 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Kevin, you have a number of landlords that haven't even been receiving rent payments over these last couple of months. What are you hearing from them about this August 1st deadline and, what they need to be thinking about?
Sure. Obviously they're concerned about getting money, both the commercial and the residential landlords. They have bills to pay, whether they're a large commercial complex that still has to pay a large mortgage, or a mom and pop owning one property or a duplex that they live in one half of rent out the other, and they need the money. That's for a lot of people, their retirement plan is to have that rental income, and they don't have it, and they're struggling. And a lot of they're asking us, how do I, like, twofold. One, what can I do from the government standpoint to help bring in money? And number two, what can I do with my tenant to try to resolve something? And on the first front with the government, yeah, there are some programs out there, but for example, the PPP program, Paycheck Protection Program, and CARES Act don't offer a lot of assistance to landlords. on the residential side. On the commercial side, they're being forced to try to go to banks and say, can I get a loan? Can I get more money? And the answer is sure, but more interest, more cost, more expense. And a lot of banks don't have great programs out there right now for those commercial landlords or residential. So they're struggling. So they are going to their tenants and saying, what can you do? And a lot of tenants that got money that are able to try to pay their rent are also concerned. And so they're talking to their landlords to some extent. But I think a lot of communication with your landlord is really important to see if the landlord can get something, because the landlord has to pay the bills to have the property available for the tenant to even live in.
And we are hearing from people online. And again, you can email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org, or again, Facebook or Twitter at WLRNSundial. The number 1-800-743-9576. We heard from Beth in Key West, emailed us. We're senior citizens on a small fixed income. We rent an apartment that's attached to our home. All utilities are included in the rent. Our tenant has not paid rent since January. We finally started eviction proceedings prior to the governor's moratorium. This tenant has returned to work for a month now and previously received unemployment. We must pay for his electric, air conditioning, hot water, and Wi-Fi. We cannot afford to keep a free roof over his head. We are using up our meager savings. Do we have any recourse? Kevin, again, this is a mom-and-pop situation. What is the recourse?
Right. Well, that really brings in a lot of issues. For example, this is a residential situation, and under the law, the landlord isn't supposed to do anything to interfere with the utilities to the property. So where you have a situation where the rent includes the utilities, yet the landlord's not receiving any income, but yet still has to pay for the utilities, the landlord is in a very difficult position, because well, like FPNL, for example, has been great, and they've been allowing people to defer bills and not disconnecting service. I think that's coming to an end, where a lot of these utility companies are saying, we need to get some bills paid. So people are being forced to pay bills and going wherever they can to get money, and it's not always coming, or often it's not coming right now from that tenant. So the landlord still has to pay those utilities, or risk being, the tenant can basically seek damages against the landlord.
And this person has said they've been paying the utilities and the Wi-Fi. They've had a free roof over this person's head. But again, what's the recourse?
Well, what they can do is not, this moratorium on eviction really only stops evictions based on non-payment of rent. So, for example, at our firm, we have been able to proceed, and over the last couple of months, we have been proceeding with evictions. It is not that all evictions have come to a complete halt. We have proceeding with, for example, non-renewals. If the lease expired, it's a month-to-month tenant, or it's a situation where it's a verbal agreement, we have been serving those types of notices, and those landlords have been able to proceed with evictions. So it is, and on the commercial side, really the stay hasn't affected the commercial cases. So those landlords can still move forward with evictions, and we've been happy to be creative, because some landlords need to do something like sell their property to come up with money to pay for to pay off the property, because they don't have the rental income. So it is possible for landlords to go forward with eviction actions against tenants.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's going to the tenant and asking, can you pay something, and try to work out something or agree to move out. And a landlord can still bring a lawsuit for money damages against the tenant. You can sue a tenant and saying, well, fine, put the eviction aside, I still need the money. And saying, I got to put some pressure on the tenant to pay, because I do think a lot of this moratorium and all these things that have been coming out lately really have tipped the scales in the tenant's favor and not the landlord. And I think that while the moratorium may lapse and landlords can go forward, the hope is that it balances things out a little bit. So landlords can now go to tenants and say, look, we've got to figure out how to pay the rent so I can pay my bills, or be subject to eviction. So hopefully it will enable a more equal of bargaining position and enable parties to reach an agreement and hopefully settle issues and get paid.
And that's what it comes down to. It's having that conversation with the person, again, trying to find that agreement. But it sounds like this is a person who's been living there since January, and they did start the eviction process. We've been hearing from folks online as well. We heard from Alessandra on Facebook. She says, I live in Miami, and I live in a place with a month-to-month lease. I have been paying rent during the pandemic, even though I have had no work. My landlord is selling the property, and they want me to move out. I do not have the money for first and last and security or proof of income or stable employment, which most rentals require. Can they evict me? Sean, can they?
Well, I think the biggest question to ask there is, does the CARES Act moratorium apply? And it applies if you live in any kind of subsidized housing or if your landlord has a mortgage on the property and that mortgage is federally backed. Our reading of the CARES Act is that the landlord cannot terminate the tenancy during the 120-day period of the moratorium, which unfortunately ends this coming Saturday on July 25th. So the first you want to find out if the landlord has a federally backed mortgage on the property. There are certain tools you can use to look that up on our website, legalservicesofmiami.org, legalservicesofgreatermiami.org. We have some search tools you can use to try to find out if your landlord has a federally backed mortgage. If they do and the CARES Act applies, they are going to have to give you a 30-day notice to terminate the tenancy, which they have to do after July 25th. So if the CARES Act moratorium applies, the earliest they could file against you with an eviction would be the end of August.
Is there a difference between, because this is a person who has a month-to-month lease, is there a difference between someone who's in that situation compared to someone who's in a long-term lease?
Well, certainly. I mean, if there's a written lease, the landlord is going to be obligated to allow the tenant to live out that lease if they're paying rent. And my understanding is the caller was paying rent. So the landlord is going to have to honor that lease if there's a written lease agreement. I mean, in Florida, if you are a month-to-month tenant, generally, if a moratorium does not apply, the landlord only has to give you 15 days notice to terminate that tenancy, except in certain jurisdictions like Miami Beach or the city of Miami, where they have local ordinances that say 30 days. So generally, they can just terminate a month-to-month tenancy. So the big question there is, does the CARES Act moratorium apply or not?
All right. Again, talking with Sean Rowley, Advocacy Director for Tenants' Rights at Greater Legal Services of Miami. Also joining us is Kevin Fabricant. He's a Fort Lauderdale-based attorney with the firm Fabricant & Associates, representing mostly landlords. And again, we want to hear from you if you're a landlord or renter. Again, the moratorium ends August 1st, unless the governor changes that. We haven't heard yet. What is going to happen? And what are your rights as a renter? What are your rights as a landlord? 800-743-9576. Let's go to Brian in Miami Beach. Brian, thanks for waiting.
Hi. I was calling to find out if there's a way to determine if the tenant is receiving unemployment or any other assistance and just simply not paying the rent to take advantage of and unduly enrich themselves.
All right. Kevin, I mean, we can check and see if a landlord has, where their mortgage is being financed. What about with the renter?
Yeah, well, I think, and that goes into an interesting issue. I think that while the landlord doesn't really have the way to find out exactly what the tenant is making and how much money is coming in, and that goes back to the leverage issue where I was saying that the landlord is in a difficult position where they can't do anything, though tenants are collecting money. On the commercial side, they may be collecting PPP money, but on the Paycheck Protection Program, but just not paying their landlord, even though they're allowed to. And on the residential side, there might be money coming in, but you really can't go to that tenant and force them. The mechanism available to a landlord is the threat of eviction and money damages and suing them for money damages, saying you've been collecting money. I think that when it came to all these moratoriums and all the money going out to tenants, really, I think that the government may have considered a way to share this burden, meaning let the landlord apply for money and just maybe have the tenant join in on that, where the landlord makes sure that money coming in that should be designated for rent for the tenancy goes directly to the landlord instead of giving it to the tenant and hoping that the tenant pays their rent, which is typically the largest. On the residential side, it's the largest bill that they have each month. So they should be paying that to the landlord if that's what it's allocated for. But the landlord's getting stuck with little leverage other than eviction.
Yeah. Brian, thank you for the call. Sean, I mean, you know, before the pandemic, really, wasn't Florida always kind of leaning more towards landlords?
Yeah, I mean, the law in Florida, and just to go back to what the caller was saying before, landlords can seek a forbearance of mortgage payments in the same way that tenants can take advantage of a moratorium on evictions. But Florida is generally one of the most landlord-tenant friendly states in the country in terms of its statute. And the reason for that is its very strict rent deposit statute. Once these evictions get going, generally the way the law works is that tenants, when they receive an eviction, they have to file their answer. And at the time they file their answer, they are generally required to post the rent money into the court registry. And the money needs to be in the court registry before the court will hear out their defenses. And I think it's one of the only causes of action in the state of Florida, maybe the only one, where a defendant actually has to pay money into the court in order to be heard on their defenses. So in that sense, I mean, the statute is and always has been very friendly to the landlord. In most evictions in Miami, for instance, and in a default judgment being entered for the landlord. When we've looked at data related to this, even long before COVID-19 hit, generally less than 10% of tenants even make it to a hearing in court when an eviction is filed. And that's because the law has been heavily slanted in favor of the landlord because of that, you know, rent deposit statute. Even if the tenant has legitimate defenses, they often are not able to raise them if the money is not there.
Let me, you know what, this question is for both of you. Kevin, let me start with you. I mean, let's say the moratorium is lifted. Now you got to go through all these evictions proceedings. You may have a lot of thousands and thousands of evictions proceedings to go forward. The court's ready to handle that?
I think it's been complicated in that, for example, there were cases we had where we already had final judgments entered prior to, you know, back in February, for example, where it goes to the sheriff stage, where the sheriff is hired to go out and execute the writ, which is a directive by the court and the clerk that tells the sheriff to go and dispossess the tenant from the property and return possession to the landlord, where everything went to a halt. And so we couldn't even move those along. And There's certainly going to be a backlog back from then of cases that were in the works that stopped, plus certain cases that were able legally to go forward over the last couple of months, and then a whole influx. And lately, in calling the courts and the clerks, different courthouses are working different schedules still, where not all the clerks are working at the same time, so they're working in different shifts. So you don't even have the ability to have a full staff at the courthouse even being able process cases. So yeah, there's going to be a backlog. They're going to have to work with the old clerks are going to have to work and judges with the old cases first and deal with new cases and emergency situations. And I'm sure there's going to be a whole lot of cases where tenants try to get out of their lease by, and this is probably more on the commercial side than on the residential side, but they're going to try to defend and say, I lost my rent, I lost my job, I lost my ability to pay rent money because of what we call a force majeure event. It's basically like an unforeseen event that occurs, like a pandemic.
Right.
People say, I shouldn't have to pay my rent
and
because of a circumstance.
And like, you know, the other thing you mentioned too, and Sean, I'm curious, is you get to the point where you're calling for the sheriff to come in and help remove somebody. But again, you're going to have thousands of people you may have to remove. And what if from sheriff to sheriff department, you know, they take a different stance? Maybe one sheriff says, okay, we'll do that. Or another one says, we don't have the manpower to do that. Then what?
Right. Well, and that's a very good question, because let me just give you a couple figures to give you an idea of what we might be dealing with. For example, I mean, according to the Household Pulse Survey, which is conducted by the Census Bureau, they've determined that in Miami-Dade County, more than 40% of renters were either not able to pay the rent last month or are not confident they'll be able to pay next month, more than 40% of renters. I mean, looking at it from a statewide basis, the National Coalition for a Civil Right to Counsel estimates that there are 1.2 million households in Florida that are at serious risk of being evicted or of not being able to pay the rent. And based on that, they estimate that we would be looking at about more than 800,000 evictions in Florida over the next 4 months. So we are going to be dealing with a massive, massive deluge of evictions. And like you say, different counties are coming up with different solutions to fix that problem or to try to mitigate that problem.
Yeah.
In Miami-Dade County, thankfully, they have not been executing writs of possession, meaning they have not been physically evicting people since the state of emergency was declared in March. So we don't know how long that policy is going to be remain in place.
The next story, absolutely. Let me go back to the phones. I want to go to Suzanne in Fort Lauderdale. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. So my question is a follow-up question with regard to if you're a month-to-month tenant. So I'm a month-to-month tenant only because they didn't issue me a lease renewal when I came up on my first year. I have my own business. It's a sole proprietorship, so I don't qualify for PPP, and I am not taking unemployment. Should I ask my, and I've been paying my rent, should I ask my landlord to give me a new lease agreement? So if the building goes up for sale, I don't fall under that 15 to 30 day notice of eviction so they can sell the building. And then therefore, since I continue to pay my rent, I'll have a lease of which to, then work out my ultimate departure.
All right. So basically, you know, what to ask the landlord. Sean, I'll start with you. What do you tell Suzanne?
Okay. What I would recommend, and generally just a little disclaimer here, I deal almost exclusively with residential tenancies. So I do not have a lot of experience with commercial tenancies. I mean, generally how it works is if the year lease expires and the tenant continues to pay rent, it automatically turns into a month-to-month tenancy. I would always recommend to people to have a lease agreement for a specific duration that gives you some security with the contract.
Yeah.
Unless you think you're not going to be able to pay the money in the coming months and are going to have to vacate the premises.
Kevin, just if I could throw you in there, maybe you have something for Suzanne on that.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's, again, back to the bargaining position. If you can go to your landlord and you've been a good tenant and you've paid the rent and you go to the landlord and say, please allow me to stay, I have me execute a lease. When a landlord sells a building or business and as a new on a commercial side and a new owner steps in, it's a very difficult thing to know because that landlord might be happy to sell the business with an existing tenant with a lease because the new landlord knows there's rental income coming in. So it's a difficult one to say. I think if you've been a good tenant, you go to the landlord and say, you can, it's a written contract. You can write in whatever. If you want to give an option for a new owner to terminate your lease within 60 days and the new owner hopefully will be happy with you and keeping you there, then maybe that would be a little give and take in your proposal for a new lease extension to convince the landlord to go forward. And I just want to touch on one thing that was said a moment ago, just about risk. So you know, it's true that in Miami-Dade County, for example, they were not executing on risk, but we have only recently been able to get risk executed, and that was quite frankly by contacting those up the chain to explain that these types of evictions that we were referring to were not that subject to the stay orders by the governor and federally. So we actually had to go up the chain to get a writ basically issued and to the sheriff, and the sheriff agreed to schedule the writ for removal.
Yeah.
Now that took a lot of pushing because, again, I'm on the landlord side here, so the landlord needs the rental income and needs sometimes the properties back, and the unfortunate sheriff is part of the process.
Yeah, let me, because we got to wrap up here. So briefly, for both of you, Sean, I want to start with you. You've been here. You were here when the South Florida market crashed in 2008. Just briefly, what are the similarities that you're seeing with what happened then and what we might be facing real soon?
Well, what I anticipate the similarities are going to be once the moratorium ends is going to be just a court system, an economy and a court system that's completely overburdened with cases. So, I mean, one of the fears I have is that courts may be so overburdened with cases that they're going to try to rush through them and in a way that could run roughshod over people's due process rights in terms of if they raise defenses and having their hearings, having their defenses heard
and
in front of a judge.
Do you think this will be worse than the 2008 crisis?
Well, I think for tenants, it probably will be in terms of access to the courts because the deck is already stacked against them in terms of the rent deposit statute and everything I talked about before.
And Kevin, in 30 seconds, what about landlords? Is this better or worse than, or I should say, is it as bad as what we saw in 2008?
No, I think it'll be better. I think that there are better protections out there that we learned a lot from that crisis back 10 years ago. I don't think it'll be as bad. I think it's that courts are going to push a lot of mediations and push a lot of opportunities for people to resolve things. And if we do them by Zoom, which is the way it's been going lately, it's easier for them to rush. Basically, more can happen in a shorter period of time with Zoom rather than having everybody go to the courthouse and sit in the courtroom and wait.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of lists that on our website, evictionlawfirm.com. We have a lot of stuff that lists out different things that landlords can do to try to resolve things with their tenants. And that's going to be a big push.
Kevin Fabrikan, again, Fort Lauderdale-based attorney with the firm Fabrikan & Associates. Sean Rowley, Advocacy Director for Tenants' Rights at Greater Legal Services of Miami. Kevin, Sean, thanks so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Lewis.
Thanks for having us.
And again, if you do need legal advice, I mean, please seek it out. And we will keep you informed on that moratorium. We'll let you know what the governor does as soon as he announces it. Well, that's our program for this Thursday, July 23rd. Coming up next week on the show, how is retail surviving the coronavirus pandemic? Beth Azor, who owns 6 strip malls in Broward County, says it's all about getting creative online. We're going to chat with Beth about what's been successful, and we're going to meet a sports store owner who started an Instagram show. Plus, the Miami Heat restarts their season in the NBA bubble next weekend. We're going to meet the Heat's team doctor. He's been with the team since the beginning, 33 years. And he explains what it's been like working with players during the pandemic. And plus, he's going to reflect a little bit about being with a team back when they had the Big Three. And teachers, the school year is just about to start. We've got a teacher panel we're putting together to discuss the biggest concerns. If you're a teacher, you want to join the panel, talk with us, email us sundial@wlrnnews.org. Again, have a great Friday, a great weekend. Stay safe. I'm Lewis Hernandez. We'll talk again live on Monday.